الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Allah, today we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and today inshallah we will learn about the Prophet's death. One night shortly after his return from Al-Madinah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up at midnight and asked his servant Abdullah to accompany him to the burial ground of the Muslims. There, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood in front of the graves, and as though he could see the Muslims buried in them, spoke to them and prayed over them. Later, Abdullah reported, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that he was ordered to pray for the dead and that I was to go with him. This is an order from Allah. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prayed, he turned to Abdullah and said, I can choose between all the riches of this world, a long life, and then paradise, or meeting my Lord and entering paradise now. Okay, he has two choices. Abdullah begged the Prophet to choose long, rich life followed by paradise. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that he had already chosen to meet his Lord now, rather than remain in the world. The following morning, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up with a terrible headache. But despite this, he led the prayers in the mosque. From his words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people understood that his death was near. The Prophet praised his best friend Abu Bakr, who had begun to weep, and told everyone that he knew that they would all meet again. When Prophet Muhammad noted that Abu Bakr started to weep, he said to him that we will meet again in the paradise. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added that although he was sure that his companions would worship Allah alone, he was afraid that the pleasures of the world would attract them and they would begin to compete with one another for the material enjoyments, forgetting spiritual things. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sure that he is about to die. He also knew that his companions are the best human beings. But still, after his death, he was worried that again they will compete for the worldly enjoyment. Soon after, he requested that he move to the room of Aisha, one of his wives. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was just and fair with all his wives, okay? But his heart was having very special feelings to Aisha. So when he was sure that he is about to die, he requested his wife that he wanted to die in the room of Aisha. So they moved him to the room of Aisha, his wife. As the days passed, his fever grew worse until one day he was so ill that he couldn't even go to the mosque, which was next to where Aisha lived. The mosque was very close, but he can't. You know, this is the signs of this severe weakness. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha to tell the Muslims to lead Abu Bakr, her father, to lead the prayers. He was not able even to lead the prayers, so he told his wife to tell her father Abu Bakr to lead the prayers, which made them very sad, for this was the first time anyone had taken the Prophet's place in prayers. Okay, this is the first time another person prayed instead of the Prophet. And on the 12th day of Rabi' al-Awwal, one of the Arabic months, in the 11th year of Islam, which means 11 years after Hijrah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard the voices of the people in prayer. With great effort, he got up and he looked from his door at all Muslims who were assembled in rows behind Abu Bakr. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled with great satisfaction. You know, this is good. Abu Bakr stepped back to give the Prophet his place. The Muslims were very happy, thinking that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to pray with them as before. But the Prophet signaled to them to continue on their own. He prayed in a sitting position at the right side of Abu Bakr. He can't leave him. After which, he went back inside and lay his head on Aisha's lap, and he was in such pain that his daughter Fatima cried out, and she was very sad. So he said to his daughter, now his daughter came because this is the time of death, and this was the only daughter left. All the other daughters died already, so he was having only Fatima. So he said to her, there is no pain for your father after this day. Truly, this had appeared to me. He started to see the angels of death. Subhanallah. He said also, we must all suffer death till the day of judgment. No human being can escape this. As he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lay there, Aisha remembered that he had once said, Allah never takes a prophet to himself without giving him the choice. Then she heard the Prophet speaking his last words, nay, rather, the exalted communion of paradise. Allah, he is leaving. Okay? Aisha then said to herself, so by Allah, he is not choosing us. He already chose the paradise. When the people of the mosque knew that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dead, they were filled with grief. Umar couldn't and wouldn't believe it, and exclaimed that it was not true. He couldn't believe it. Abu Bakr then went out and spoke gently to the people, saying, all praise belongs to Allah. O people, whoever worshipped Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. You know, this is Islam. Because Prophet Muhammad is a messenger, a human being. But for him who worships Allah, Allah is living and never dies. Abu Bakr then recited this verse from the Holy Quran, Surah number 3, verse number 144 and 145. So that this is a proof that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a messenger, beloved more than their spirits, but still he is a human being and he must die. So we will recite now from Surah number 3,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse 144-145. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa ma Muhammadun illa rasul qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul. وسيجزي الله الشاكرين وما كان لنفس أن تموت إلا بإذن الله كتابا مؤجلا ومن يرد ثواب الدنيا نؤته منها ومن يرد ثواب الآخرة نؤته منها وسنجزي الشاكرين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief? And he who turns back on his heels will never harm Allah at all, but Allah will reward the grateful. And it is not possible for one to die except by permission of Allah at a decree determined. And whoever desires the reward of this world, we will give him thereof. And whoever desires the reward of the hereafter, we will give him thereof. And we will reward the grateful.
Actually, sisters, after hearing these verses of the Quran, the people pledged their loyalty to Abu Bakr, whom the Prophet had chosen to lead the prayer. Abu Bakr accepted and said, "Obey me so long as I obey Allah and His Messenger. But if I disobey Allah and His Messenger, you owe me no disobedience. Arise for your prayer. Allah have mercy upon you." So now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the leader of the Muslims after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr. The people rose and asked him, "Where will the Prophet be buried?" Abu Bakr remembered that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, "No Prophet dies who is not buried on the spot where he died." This means that all the prophets were buried on the spot where they died. The same spot. Okay? Because this is the wisdom of Allah and this is the plan of Allah. And so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was buried in a grave dug in the floor of Aisha's room in the house next to the mosque. Okay? In the same spot. The spot became known as Al-Haram al-Nabawi, the place where Prophet Muhammad was buried. And the Muslims from all over the world, they go there to pray and to give their blessings and greetings of peace to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the end of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Islam, who sacrificed all his life for the sake of the message of Islam. May Allah the Almighty increase His blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad and his family and his companions and all the Muslims. Let us now, sisters, at the end of the life of our beloved Prophet, remember, number one, the major events in his life. Now we will revise the major events in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also we will remember the verses of the Quran which are mentioning his good manners. We will start by the verses of the Holy Quran which mentioned the good manners and the good characters of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Prophet, the Prophet of Islam. And we will start by Surah number 68, verse number 4.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa inna ala khulukin azim.
Okay, and indeed you, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and indeed you are a great moral character.
Okay, so actually, sister, what is the meaning of a verse of the Quran? This is a testimony from Allah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having the best manners. Okay, Allah knows best whom to entrust for with His final message. The message of Islam was the final message to be sent from Allah to humanity. And Allah the Almighty, He knows best to whom to entrust for this message. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his great character, was indeed the one to deliver this message. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a match for the message of Islam and a living example of its greatness. The message of Islam is so perfect, beautiful, comprehensive and truthful that it could only be delivered by a man who deserves such testimony from Allah. Now we will recite again about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Surah number 33, verse number 21. Surah number 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 21. What is the page?
Oh, 598.
Okay, thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There has certainly been for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent pattern for anyone who hope is in Allah and the last day, and who remembers Allah often.
So actually, sister, from this verse of the Quran, we learn that our role model is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever you are looking for a role model in your life regarding the good manners and characters, there are some Muslims whom they say, my role model is my father, is my grandfather, is my teacher. As Muslims, our role model is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this verse is the proof of that fact. Now we will learn again about the purity of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he was the best one to convey the message of Islam and the Quran from Surah number 62, verse number 2. Surah number 62.
هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is he who has sent among the unlettered Arabs a messenger from themselves, reciting to them his verses and purifying them and teaching them the book, the Quran, and wisdom, the Sunnah, although they were before in clear error.
So actually, this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who taught the Arabs the recitation of the verses of the Holy Quran and how to purify themselves, and he taught them also the wisdom. Okay, we will recite again from Surah number 3, verse number 159, to learn about the mercy and kindness as characters of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 159.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you have been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him.
So actually, sisters, Allah is clarifying that it is the kind treatment of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people around him that encouraged them to learn about the message of Islam and to become Muslims, and then Allah is commanding him to pardon them and to ask forgiveness for them and to consult them in the matter. Okay, now we will recite again about the compassion and caring as characters of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Surah number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 9. Surah number 9, verse number 9. And actually, sisters, as Muslims, we must know these verses of the Quran so that inshallah we will be always ready to clarify the reality of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also for us to be sure and to know what we must know about him. Surah number 9. Let's again recite from Surah number 2, verse number 153. Surah number 2. Until I check this. Surah number 2, verse, you find it? You get it? Number 3, verse 153.
إذ تصعدون وتلون على أحد والرسول يدعوكم في أخراكم فأثابكم غما بغم لكي لا تحزنوا على ما فاتكم ولا ما أصابكم. Wallahu khabirum bima ta'amaloon.
Okay. What's the
reason? Oh, Remember when you fled and climbed the mountain without looking aside at anyone while the messenger was calling you from behind? So Allah repaid you with distress upon distress, so you would not grieve for that which had escaped you of victory and spoils of war, or for that which had befallen you of injury and death. And Allah is fully aware of what you do.
We will learn now, sisters, to recite from Surah number 26, verse number 3. We will recite three verses of the Holy Quran which are related to the sincerity of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will start by Surah number 26, verse number 3.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لعلك باخع نفسك ألا يكونوا مؤمنين إن نشأ ننزل عليهم من السماء آية فظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Perhaps, O Muhammad, you would kill yourself with grief that today would not be believers. If we willed, we could send down to them from the sky a sign for which their necks would remain humble.
So actually, sister, from this verse of the Quran, it is clear that Allah the Almighty is sending a message of tranquility to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was very sad and upset because the people were not believing in the message of Islam. So Allah is saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah, if Allah willed, He could send down to them from the sky a sign from which their necks would remain humbled. And this is the sign of the power of Allah. Allah has the power to make all of them Muslims. Okay? But in Islam, okay, you cannot become a Muslim by force. You must choose Islam. Accordingly, Allah is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is just a messenger. He must convey the message, then it is up to the people. And he was not supposed to be sad or upset if they don't believe in the message. We will recite again from Surah number 35, verse number 8, regarding the same character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah number 35, verse number 8, the sincerity as a character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ.
Then is one of whom the evil of his deed has been made attractive, so he considers it good, Then is one of whom the evil of his deed has been made attractive, so he considers it good, like one rightly guided. For indeed, Allah sends astray whom He wills and guides whom He wills. So do not let yourself perish over them in regret. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing of what they do.
Allah the Almighty is sending the same message of tranquility and peace to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to be upset or sad that the people were not believing in the message. And Allah is clarifying that Allah guides whom He wish and Allah sends astray whom He wills. So it is not up to Prophet Muhammad at all. It is just to convey the message. Again, we will recite from Surah number 27, verse number 70, regarding the same sincerity as the character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sister, as we are reading more and more or reciting more and more of the verses of the Quran which are related to the sincerity of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the proof that he is the correct match for the message of Islam, because he was all the time upset and sad, not for any private issue, but only for the sake of the message of Islam. We will recite from Surah number 27. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تكن في ضيق مما يمكرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل عسى أن يكون ردف لكم بعض الذي تستعجلون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم And grieve not over them, or be in distress from what they conspire. And they say, When is the fulfillment of this promise, if you should be truthful?
The next.
Say, perhaps, it is close behind you, very near. Some of that for which you are impatient.
So again, Allah is clarifying to us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sad and upset, and he was in distress because of the attitude of the people of Quraysh. But Allah is sending for him a message that their time is very close, so be patient. We will learn about patience as a character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a very important character from Surah number 16, verse number 128. Surah number 16, Surah An-Nahl. Verse number 128.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I want you to read please 127 and 128
واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم And be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your patience is not but through Allah, and do not grieve over them, and do not be in distress over what they conspire. Indeed, Allah is with those who fear Him and those who are doers of good.
We will learn a verse of the Holy Quran which is related to shyness and kindness as characters of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he was treating the people whom they were visiting his homes. We will recite from Surah number 33, verse number 53. From Surah number 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 53. To learn about the houses of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was treating his guests and how he was shy to tell them that when they finished the visit they must leave. Okay, he was shy to say that to them. So Allah sent a revelation instead of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can go.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحي منكم والله لا يستحي من الحق وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب ذلكم أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن وما كان لكم أن تؤذوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم O you who have believed, do not enter the house of the Prophet except when you are permitted for a meal, without awaiting its readiness. But when you are invited, then enter, and when you have eaten, disperse without seeking to remain for conversation. Indeed, the behavior was troubling that the Prophet and he is shy of dismissing you. But Allah is not shy of the truth. And when you ask his wives for something, ask them asked them from behind a partition that is pure for you, for your hearts and their hearts, and it is not conceivable or lawful for you to harm the messenger of Allah or to marry his wives after him, ever. Indeed, that would be in the sight of Allah an enormity.
So, actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty is clarifying the character of being shy regarding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was shy of dismissing the guests, you know. But Allah is not shy of the truth. And this is one of the rules of Islam. Allah is not shy of the truth. So when you know the truth, don't be shy to mention it loudly in front of everyone, so long the truth is based on the rules of the Quran or the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when someone will ask you why you are saying the truth loudly, okay, you can answer her from this verse of the Quran. Allah is not shy of the truth. Okay, if Allah is not shy of the truth, so I must say the truth. Okay, whether the people like it or not, or be happy with me or not, this is not my problem. My problem is the truth. Whether the people, they like to follow the truth or not, also this is not my problem, but I must say the truth to everyone. Okay, now we learn a very important fact in Islam regarding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was not lawful for anyone to marry his wife after his death. And actually his wife Aisha, when he died, she was around 17 years old. Okay, but she never married again, because according to this rule of the Quran, it is not allowed, okay, and it is not lawful for any man to marry the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after him. Okay, now sisters, we will learn a very important two verses of the Quran related to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And actually for these two, try all the time to remember them, okay, because this is actually our duty towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to know by heart these two verses of the Quran. The first one is surah number 21, verse number 107. And then we will know about the second one. So the first one is surah number 21, the Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of the Prophets, 21, verse number 106.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. 21.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to the worlds.
Actually, sisters, if we want to mention Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his characters and all his Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all his characters and all his deeds, and who is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a mercy to the worlds, or a mercy to the human beings. Okay, he was except a mercy, just a mercy. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the human being chosen by Allah, okay, to convey the message of mercy. Okay, so he must be mercy so that he can convey the message of mercy and represent the message of mercy and live the message of mercy. Because Islam, inshallah, our religion is the religion of mercy. Okay, and the mercy of Allah is mentioned in many verses of the Holy Quran. And actually we have on 2009 series of classes related to the mercy of Allah as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And when you learn these verses of the Quran, you will not be able to imagine how great is the mercy of Allah. Okay, and actually when your heart is touched by this fact that the mercy of Allah is so great that we can't can't imagine it. You will feel how we must be thankful to Allah day and night, and how we need to be connected with Allah, the source of mercy, all the time. And how we oppress ourselves when we live away from Allah, because we are living away from the source of mercy on the earth. So accordingly, if Islam is the message of mercy, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just mercy to mankind. The second verse of the Quran which we must always remember as Muslims is from Surah number 33, verse number 56. Surah number 33, Surah Al-Ahzab. And actually Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned many times in this verse, in this chapter of the Quran, Al-Ahzab, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 33:56.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Indeed, Allah confers blessings upon the Prophet and his angels. Ask him to do so. O you who have believed, ask Allah to confer blessings upon him and ask Allah to grant him peace.
So actually, sisters, we must know that Allah, the Almighty, the owner of the heavens and the earth, confers blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only human being whom Allah confers the blessing upon is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah, the Almighty, He asked the angels also to send their blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the believers. Okay, accordingly in all our supplications at the beginning and at the end, we must send our blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is a command from Allah in the Holy Quran. Okay, we must know that this is a command from Allah in the Holy Quran, that we must send our blessings and greetings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning of any dua or supplication and at the end. Okay, we must remember Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, sister, we will revise together, insha'Allah, the major events in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is considered, insha'Allah, a summary of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so long as this is the last class of his life. So let us now revise the major events in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in 570 AD. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he visited Medina with his mother, and then his mother died on 576. So the death of his mother is 576. At the age of 6 years, his mother died. The death of his grandfather, the one who was taking care of him, as we learned, Abdul Muttalib, okay, it was 2 years later, 578. So after the death of his mother by 2 years, after 2 years, his grandfather died. In 578. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his journey to Syria with his uncle Abu Talib was in 582. In 594, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he leads a caravan to Lady Khadija from Syria back and forth. He led her trade caravan to Syria back and forth, 594. So 1 year later, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Lady Khadija. 595, he married Lady Khadija. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was chosen to put the black stone in Al-Kaaba, 605 AD. He put he was the one to choosing, okay, to place the black stone, 605. In 610, the first revelation in the cave of Hira. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation in the cave of Hiraq, 610. 3 years later, invitation to the Muslims to accept Islam. This means that in 613, declaration, invitation to general public to Islam. So he started to call people in public to Islam, 613. This means that 3 years after calling them in secret. Okay? Immigration of Muslim to Abyssinia, 615. 2 years after calling people to Islam in public, the Muslims were facing a lot of hard times, so some of them decided to immigrate to Abyssinia, 615. The second hijra to Abyssinia, 616. Again, they were another group, they immigrated to Abyssinia, and this is the proof that they were treated very badly by Quraysh people. The boycott for the Prophet and his family by Quraysh was for 3 years, from 617 to 620. So for 3 years, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslim and his family, they suffered the boycott by Quraysh for 3 years, where they were eating the leaves of the trees and the skin of the animal for 3 years. Okay? Death of the Prophet's uncle, 620, 1 year, or it is actually at the end of the year of the boycott. Okay? The same year, it was the year of the death of his wife, Lady Khadija, 620. And actually, 620 is the year of sadness. Okay? Because in this year, he lost the two people whom they were supporting mostly, his uncle and his wife. Okay.
This was 620, right?
620, yes. 621, okay, Allah the Almighty, out of His mercy, He sent Prophet Muhammad to the Al-Isra'j and the Mi'raj, okay, to the trip to the heavens, so that this is a message of tranquility and peace and support from Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also in the same year, 621, it was the first pledge of Aqaba. As we learned, the people came from Medina and they accepted Islam, and it was the first pledge at a place called Al-Aqaba. Year after, 622, it was the second pledge of Aqaba. 730 men and some women, they came to the Prophet and they had with him the pledge in the same place of Al-Aqaba, and they became Muslim. They were coming from Yathrib, and they asked him to immigrate and to leave Mecca and to move to Al-Madinah. Accordingly, the Prophet's immigration to Medina, it was in the 12th Rabi' al-Awwal, 622. The 12th Rabi' al-Awwal, 622. Oh, he hated. Okay, I did actually now regard the Prophet's immigration to Yathrib. It was on the 12th Rabi' al-Awwal, okay, which is on 12th Rabi' al-Awwal, okay, the first year after Hijr, because, or the first year of Hijra. Okay, because this is the day of the first day of Hijra is the first day of the calendar, of the lunar calendar of the Muslims. Okay, it started by that day. Okay, that day is the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Subhanallah. The 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. The treaty with Jewish and non-Muslim Medina was in the first year after Hijra. The first after Hijra, 620. Okay, change of Qibla, okay, was on Rajab, the second year after Hijrah, 624. So now the Qibla was changed from Jerusalem to Mecca, okay, in the second year after Hijrah. Now, inshallah, we will continue events of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the treaty of Hudaybiyah between the Muslims and the Quraysh on the 6th year after Hijrah, 628. The conquest of Mecca in Ramadan, the 8th year after Hijrah, 629 AD. The year of deputations, the ninth year after Hijra, 630 AD. The last revelation, which is from Surah number 5, verse number 3, which we recited before, the last revelation was in the 10th year after Hijra, Dhul Hijjah, at the time of the farewell pilgrimage, and it was in 631 AD, and then the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was in the 28th Safar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 11th year AD. Now, we learned that the death of Prophet Muhammad was in 632 AD, but in some reference it was in the 28th of Safar, and in some other reference it was on the 10th of Rabi' al-Awwal, or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. 12th Rabi' al-Awwal. Okay, so actually Allah knows the exact date of the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is mentioned here, the 28th of Safar, the 11th AD, 632. These are the major events in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are clarifying that most of his life was for the sake of Islam, struggling to spread the message. May Allah the Almighty send all his blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and all the Muslims. And actually we must all learn from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that our duty towards our Prophet is number one, to love him more than ourselves. Okay, this is number one. This is the duty of every Muslim. This is not a choice. This is the duty. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who sacrificed all his life for the sake of the mission of Islam and for the sake that every one of us will become a Muslim and will have a way of life and inshallah will have the paradise as the final destination. So all of us inshallah as Muslim must love him more than our life and we must follow his way of life. We must have him as role model in our life. We must always remember him. And actually, sisters, it must be the habit of every Muslim to say, may the blessings and the greetings of Allah upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 times when you wake up and 10 times at Maghrib prayer. So that inshallah Allah will make Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help you to be in the paradise inshallah. Okay, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for those whom they follow his way of life and whom also they believe in the Quran and live their life according to the Quran, and also whom they send the 10 blessings upon him in the morning and 10 blessings upon him at Maghrib prayer, 10 in the morning and 10 at night. This is number one, whom they love him more than themselves. This is number two, and those when the call of prayer will be mentioned, they will say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'ima ati sayyidina Muhammadin al-wasilata wal-fadila. This means that whom they will ask the highest paradise for him after every call of prayer. So this is the duty of every one of us who is looking that Prophet Muhammad will intercede for you on the day of judgment, that you remember him after every call for prayer and you ask for him the highest paradise and you send the blessings on him 10 times in the morning and 10 times at night, and you love him more than yourself and you follow his way of life, inshallah he will intercede on you on the day of judgment and inshallah the paradise will be your final destination. Actually this is the last class related to the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I pray to Allah the Almighty to accept it from me and from all of you as a proof that we loved our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we love into his life, and inshallah we ask Allah that he will accept that deed from us, and let us make the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.